As we just heard in the Gospel, the Holy Gospel, today we celebrate a wonderfully miraculous event during which Jesus goes into the River Jordan to be baptized by John the Baptist. All four of the Gospels have accounts of this remarkable event. This is much more than a symbolic event. It's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the acceptance of the sins of the world by the Savior of the world. And John the Baptist is much more than a baptizer and much more than a relative of Jesus. Remember during Advent when we read the account of Mary visiting her older cousin Elizabeth near Jerusalem? Elizabeth was pregnant with John, who leapt in his mother's womb at the presence of the unborn Jesus in Mary's womb. The relationship deepens when we look at John's father, Zechariah. Zechariah is a priest in the temple in Jerusalem. Hear these words from Luke chapter 1. Once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time for the burning of incense came and all the assembled worshipers were praying outside, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John." It was during the visitation of the angel Gabriel that Zechariah questioned the words of the angel that he'd been told, and so he was made silent until the Lord lifted that silence upon the circumcision and naming of John. The important thing to remember about Zechariah is that he is a priest. A priest of the temple has a unique privilege of laying the sins of the Jewish world upon the scapegoat on the Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, and then sending that goat out in the wilderness, into the wilderness, until death. Now, I'd like to suggest to you this morning that God was doing something very much more than a baptism during the baptism of Jesus. Please consider that God has John the Baptist in the Levitical line of priests lay hands on the Messiah, the one who takes on the sins of the world, and then sends him out into the world, into the wilderness. In a sense, God made this a special day, a day of atonement for the whole world. John did much more than that. As he set stage for Jesus' ministry by preaching the need for repentance in the face of the coming kingdom of God. And Jesus insisted on being baptized by John, giving his endorsement to the Baptist ministry. And God, in turn, gives his endorsement with his words during the baptism. I'd like you to remember also the words of John the Baptist, who said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It's also important to note to you this morning that this event is so important that it appears in all four Gospels. In Mark 1, 1 to 11, Matthew 3, 13 to 17, Luke 3, 1 to 22, and John 1, 31 to 34. We're given a view of this event marks the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry as he would proceed from the Jordan, right across from Jericho, and go into the wilderness where he would be tempted by Satan. I believe that there seems to be several important reasons why Jesus was baptized. The first reason is that he would fulfill all righteousness. The baptism represented Jesus being consecrated to God the Father and then being approved by him. All of God's righteousness requirements for the Messiah are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The second reason for Jesus' baptism was the public announcement by John the Baptist of the arrival of the Messiah, the Lamb of God, and that he had been preaching about. And finally, his baptism allowed Jesus to fully identify with man's sinfulness and failure, even though Jesus would have no sin upon himself after being tempted. He carried our sins, but he was not a sinner. He became our substitute, our scapegoat. Something else amazing happened during Jesus' baptism. We're given a glimpse of the presence of the Holy Trinity, present before mankind, right before mankind, for the very first time. Jesus is baptized, and as he arises from the water of the River Jordan, and let me tell you, that is quite an experience. As he arose from the water, something amazing takes place. And that is that the voice of God the Father is heard saying, "You are my Son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Sons here present, what son doesn't like to hear his father say, "Son, I'm proud of you. You've done well." God the Father told everyone that he was pleased with his son. What an amazing spectacle. At the same time, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove. That spectacle there in the River Jordan. But not the first time that this sight was used by God's amazing power. I want you to listen to this account from Joshua chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. "Now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant, reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap at a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on the dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed crossing on dry ground." God showed the world another miracle, just like the one at the Red Sea. The ground was dry, only this took place across from Jericho in the River Jordan, as God's people crossed into the promised land for the very first time. But God was not done using this place. Oh, have I got more to share with you from God's word. He was not done with this place or with his people. At this place, across from Jericho in the River Jordan, another amazing event took place. 50 men, the company of the prophets, went and stood at a distance facing the place where Elijah and Elisha had stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water with it. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. 2 Kings 2:7-8. Does this sound familiar? Just as with Joshua and the Ark of the Covenant, the Jordan rolled back. But wait, God's still not done yet. The biblical account continues. "As they were walking along and walking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, 'My father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel.' And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. He picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. 'Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?' he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. 2 Kings 2, 1 through 15. Remember how I have often said that God loves to use the same place many times to display his power and his glory and his love for us? Let's return to the account of Jesus' baptism. As Jesus was coming out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At this place, across from Jericho, in the river Jordan, which has three times seen the river separate, now witnesses a different thing. Instead of the river parting in two, what does? Heaven. Heaven opens. Something only God himself could draw to attention to what was about to happen. All four Gospels describe the Holy Spirit descending as a dove from heaven to fall upon and fill Jesus, both God and man, and give him strength to go out into his earthly ministry, carrying the sins of mankind. Remember the words of John, "Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." He took them into the wilderness, carrying out the mission for which he became man in the first place. The humanity of Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit so that he would be able to face Satan head on in the wilderness and resist the temptations that the devil threw at him. He would then proclaim in the synagogue in Nazareth from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Those words are from Luke 4, 18 and 19. These words were foretold, as I said, 600 years before Jesus lived, before he was born, in Isaiah 61. And Jesus said so himself, that those words were now fulfilled in our hearing, in the hearing in that day in Nazareth. The baptism of Jesus was just the beginning of three wonderful years where Jesus would show the world God's love for his people in word and deed, ultimately coming to the greatest demonstration of his love for us by willingly climbing a mountain and lying on the cross to be nailed and lifted, humiliated, but forgiving his murderers before he breathed his last. That day in the Jordan, God the Father spoke in the presence of the Son and the Holy Spirit, revealing that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Similar words were spoken again by God the Father, recorded in Luke chapter 9, verse 35, and Matthew 17, 5, when Jesus appeared on a mountain thought to be Mount Hermon, which we call the Transfiguration. This mountain is in the north of Galilee, and Jesus appeared in his glory with Moses and Elijah, revealing his true glorious nature. And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." Listen to him. God has never tried to hide his Messiah from his people. Never. He's spoken about him from the very beginning of time and even pointedly told the world who he was at the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan and again at the Transfiguration. God wants the world to accept Jesus and believe in him so that the entire world can be saved. Let me just add these words, which we're all familiar with. A gentleman came to visit Jesus at night named Nicodemus, and he asked questions about being born again. And Jesus told him these words, "For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Those who accept and believe in Jesus can be saved. Jesus received our sins that day in the Jordan from the son of a priest and would carry them to the cross, defeating sin and death, so that we can, in essence, be washed free from our sins, like the waters of the Jordan on our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.